You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Actually, this came alive to me while I was in Hawaii. You know, we went on vacation. When I go on vacation, I preach. You know, that's just what I do. And if I'm not preaching, I'm going to church somewhere. I mean, we went to church Wednesday night, the Wednesday night that we got there, and I preached Sunday morning, and the next Sunday morning in that church, Kona Christian Church, on the Big Island, and ministered there. And just had a lot, over the years, we've had a lot of favor there. And just love preaching there, love preaching to those people. It's well received. In fact, it's just like being at home. I mean, they receive the word, they love the word, and they love good teaching, you know, that encourages and lifts and gives hope. And that's what we're about, amen? Giving hope and giving help and giving healing. Every church ought to be a church that lifts you and encourages you and stirs you and challenges you. And yet, you know, at the same time, keeps you on the straight and narrow. Hallelujah. We need that. I need that. Hallelujah. But anyway, as I was ministering down there, this came alive to me. In fact, this message, I tweaked it somewhat, preached it somewhat, you know, in the past. But I want to minister this morning on, are you storm ready? Everybody say storm ready. And you might say, I have steps to this one because I'm going to sound like a Baptist preacher now. I got steps. Brother Osteen used to always have steps. He had 5 steps to everything, 6 steps, 7 steps. You know, every message was so many steps. I just never was into steps. Here lately I've come up with things like keys or steps, same thing, or points. But 7 steps to storm-proofing your life. Doesn't that sound good? I mean, that just sounds like a powerful title, doesn't it? 7 steps to storm-proofing your life. You say, well, what do I need to storm-proof my life? Well, if you got windshield wipers on your car? Oh, come on. It's not raining. Don't be like Ma and Pa Kettle. You remember Ma and Pa Kettle? Yeah. Ma and Pa Kettle, you know, the roof's leaking. And Ma says, Pa, the roof's leaking. When you going to fix the roof, Pa? Well, Ma, it's raining right now. I can't fix it. And then when the sun would come out and shine and it'd dry out, Ma would say, Pa, you going to fix that roof? He'd say, Ma, well, it's not raining now. It's not leaking. You know, it kind of went back and forth like that. Good times, I wish every time was good time. I wish every week was a good week. I wish everything just was smooth all the time. But I know that in life it's not that way. Are you with me? Even though we have promises we stand on, there are storms we have to weather. There are storms we can stop. There are storms you've got to weather. You just got to go through. You got to plow through. You know, Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Woohoo! Are you out there? Storms may come, but hallelujah, when it's all over, we're still standing. And the reason we stand is because we're storm-proof. We're storm-ready. We're doing things that prepare us for that. If you don't have a roof on your head, you're going to get wet when it rains. Pure and simple. If you hadn't changed those windshield wipers, you're going to put creases in your wind. You're going to ruin your windshield because it's going to scrape and scratch and everything. You need to replace that. You don't wait till it rains to do that. A lot of going over in life is preparation, whether that be finances, whether that be marriage, you know, whether that be emotions or physical storms, church storms, all kinds of storms. You know, there's family storms and marital storms and church storms and financial storms. You need to understand that life, as we know it, is not heaven. We're not in heaven. We're going to heaven. Are you out there? I'm not preaching doom, gloom, and destruction. I'm just saying there are ways we can prepare for the things that come in life. There are ways we can get ready for what's coming. There are things we can do and should do, and if we don't do, we're going to get plowed over in the storm because storms are coming. Are you with me? I'm not holding the sign up saying the end of the world, end of the world, but I do know this. If you live long enough, that puppy love is going to turn into a dog's life. If you don't do things to prepare in a marriage, are you out there? You need to do the right things and, you know, caulk the windows and, hello, fix the roof and all those kinds of things. You know, in Galveston, we went down to Surfside, which is south of Galveston, with the kids and rented a beach house there. In fact, we rented a beach house with Terry Mize and his family, and it was several houses connected, you know. But down there on the beach where those houses are, they're up on stilts. I mean, they're up on like 6x8 poles, some of them 8x8 poles. And they drive their cars up underneath there and park. And the reason is because they get a little bit of storms down there in Galveston, and I don't know if you heard, and down Surfside, hurricanes come through, winds come in, waves come in, and they'll evacuate. They'll just take the cars and leave. But the houses are so high that when it's all over and the water, you know, recedes and goes back into the ocean, the house is still there. Hasn't been affected. The water didn't get that high. They're storm ready. They realize that's just the climate they live in. It's the environment they live in. If you're going to live down there, you're going to have to build your house up high. That's just the way it is. Well, if you're in this earth, you're going to have to prepare. You're going to have to learn to pray. You're going to have to learn to believe God. You're going to have to learn to trust God. You're going to have to learn to live holy. If you want a good marriage, you're going to have to learn to be faithful to your wife. Are you with me? And your husband, whatever the case may be. And, you know, you have to practice that. You have to trust God, and you have to live in a manner that's going to protect your marriage, protect your finances. You have to learn to budget. You have to learn to pay bills. You have to learn to save and set money aside. That went over real big. Because bills, they're coming. They're coming. They come every month. Are you with me? And you know what? Sometimes you have a flat tire. Sometimes the air conditioner goes out. Sometimes things happen, and you have to be ready for that. And if you're not ready for that, then it hits you. Well, it hits you like a bomb. I mean, you don't know what to do. You know, oh, my Lord, I wasn't ready for that. Well, you can be. You can be ready financially. You can be ready maritally. You can be ready in all kinds of areas. So, having said that, y'all found Matthew 7. Seven steps to being storm ready. In fact, here's two of them in this first part of Matthew's this first section. Matthew 7:24 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," y'all see that? "Heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." And doeth them. Everybody say, "and doeth them." You know, James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self." Man, that's powerful. I can hear the word and be deceived. Yeah, if you don't do it, you will be deceived. If you just hear it and you don't act on it, if you hear about forgiveness and you don't forgive, and you hear about love and you don't love, and you hear about whatever God's talking about, whatever the message is, and you don't go do that message, then just hearing it and not doing it will deceive you. Because God's word, just built into it, is the power of it is released when you do it. And if you don't do it, it just blinds you. People hear the word all the time, don't do it. And they're blinded by it. So we need not just hear the word, which would be number one, obviously, but we also need to do the word, which would be number two. Simple, I know this is kindergarten stuff, but you'd be amazed how many times we don't do the word. So he says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on a rock. And the rain descended." Now, it didn't say the man that heard the word and did the word, nothing bad ever happened. You ever notice that? No crisis ever came. No storm ever blew down. No wind ever came across his path. No rain ever hit his house. No, it says here that he would liken him to a man that built his house on a rock, and the rain descended. 25th verse. And the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Boy, I love that. Now, some things I believe we can't avoid. I think some storms, you stop them. Jesus stopped a storm. Some storms, you weather them. But whether you weather or whether you stop, you can still be standing. Are you out there? How many of you know life is tough? It's got sharp edges. It grabs. It sticks. It cuts. Hello? It's like Australia. Everything in Australia bites you. And everything's poisonous in Australia. I mean, that's why they live on the coastline of the city. Nobody lives in the outback because you'll die out there. I mean, if the first thing that bites you, you die. Every snake, and they won't let you kill snakes over there. They're all protected, and they're all poisonous. Yeah, try that in Texas, okay? To me, all snakes are poisonous. I kill them first, and we'll find out whether they're poisonous or not. I think the first thing to do is kill them, and then you find out whether that was a good snake or a bad snake. Hello? Okay. But storms come to all. I mean, storms come to everybody. But you know what? The person that's doing the word can weather the storm. You can't. It goes on, says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Now listen, they both heard. So obviously just hearing the word's not enough. Just being under the sound of it, just listening to it's not enough. I know faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word, but faith is active. Faith does something. Faith stands on and acts out what is heard. Romans 10:17 tells us that. So then faith is cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But you've got to turn this into action. You got to ask yourself when you're listening to a message, how can I do this? How can I apply this in my life? I'm going through this storm right now. I'm going through that storm right now. This is happening or that's happening. Now, what is it that I need to do? We're often waiting on God, and God's waiting on us. Are you with me? God's waiting on us to do something that he told us. Did you know you're involved in your miracle? You're always involved in your deliverance. Always comes down to doing something. I love many times in personal prophecy, and I'm not against personal prophecy. I believe in it because there are 9 gifts of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, and 10. And we had a tongue and interpretation of general prophecy this morning that encourages, uplifts, and builds up, and so on and so forth. But I think too many times we depend on a personal word from God about something good that's going to happen, and yet we're not so interested in us doing anything for that to happen. And yet in the Bible, most prophecies had something to do with you doing something. You ever notice that? I mean, there was instruction in it. You know, you do this and I'll do that. In fact, all the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 boil down to, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight and obey these commandments which I command you, then all these blessings will come on you and they will overtake you. And blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field, and blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your kind flock to your sheep. Blessed shall be the fruit of the ground. Blessed shall you be coming in, going out. God caused the rain to come down your land in its season, and bless all the work of your hand. Everybody say hand. See, that's for more than just holding hamburgers. The work of your hand. It's doing something. And the blessings are connected to obedience, are connected to what you do. But God says, if you'll do this, see, this is getting storm ready. This is preparing for the storm because the storm's coming. It's going to come. This is going to be a storm come. Come in your marriage, it'll come in your finances, it'll come in your business, it'll come in your family, it'll come in your church. I mean, it comes, but you know what? We're still standing if we're doing the word. We're not perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. No church is perfect. No family is perfect. No business is perfect. But I'll tell you what, when it's all over, we get through it. We work through it. We believe God. We stand on the word. We do what's right. And hallelujah, the wind finally stops blowing. I've heard the wind blow before. How about you? You know what? We're stronger than the wind in Christ because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? So this man, this other man, not the one that heard and did, this other man heard and did not do, 26th verse, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. In other words, he just did what he wanted to. He heard the word, but he lived his own life, his own way. He didn't build it on the rock. He built it on the sand. That wasn't what the Bible told him to do or God told him to do. He didn't do the things God said to do. He heard it, but he didn't do it. He was listening, just like a lot of us sometimes. He was maybe in church even, but he wasn't doing what he was hearing. He built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Woo, I guess so. Are you with me? Because he put the onus back on them. He put the monkey back on their back, and we like to leave it on God's, don't we? Something bad happens, we'll say, well, God just had a plan. God had a purpose, you know. Yeah, God did have a plan. He planned for you to act different, do differently. He planned for you to change that thing. Or he didn't plan for that thing at all. It might have just been the devil, are you with me? But God's good, not bad. God didn't plan evil in your life. And God didn't plan destruction in your life. He didn't plan bad things to happen to you. Are you kidding me? God is good. In fact, God told you how to get through bad things. He's the one that gives you the instruction on how to survive and weather storms and sometimes even avoid storms. You know, sometimes you need to evacuate. Are you out there? Did you hear about the volcano blew up over in, was it China? Where was it? Japan. Okay, over in Japan. And they found some hikers over there, you know, that found their bodies and identified them. Well, you know, probably the best thing to do when a volcano's fixing to blow, or maybe they knew or didn't know, I don't know. Sometimes people know they don't get out in time, they don't leave when they're supposed to. I would think the best thing to do is leave. In the words of Kenny Rogers, you got to know when to fold them. Hello. Not to belittle their pain. It's a tragedy, and I hate it. But I think in some cases, we are the problem. You know, I saw this on Facebook one time. Facebook, you know, it's got to be true because they can't lie on Facebook. But I like the saying, it said something like, it says, I believe there's a reason for anything, everything. And sometimes it's my own dumb fault. Are you out there? So what God wants us to do is wisen up a little bit here. And what's wise? What's wise is doing God's word. In other words, do what God says instead of what you think. Obey God instead of doing what you normally do. Change some things in your life. If you don't like the outcome of the things that you're doing, change the things you're doing. You know, action. Everybody say action. You can't talk your way out of a situation you behaved yourself into. Y'all catch that? You have to change your behavior to get out of a situation you behaved yourself into. So, behave. Amen? Well, hear the word and do the word. Now, I think this is fascinating when you go through this and you look at what Jesus said. That was the 7th chapter of Matthew. He goes right over into 8th chapter. He just told them storms are coming. And you know what happened in the 8th chapter? Storm came. Just like he said. They went out in this boat. You know the story. In fact, the 8th chapter of Matthew, notice in the 23rd verse, it says, when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest or a great storm in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. I love this. I mean, this is Jesus, and there's a storm going on. You think, well, Jesus, he didn't have any storms. Well, no, there's a storm going on while he's asleep in the ship. He actually told them that a man that heard the word and did the word would still have storms, but if he hears and does the word, he'll still be standing when it's over. Amen? And then the very next chapter, here comes storm. So what's the big surprise? I don't get this. Disciples were shocked by this. They didn't know what to do, and he just got through telling them what to do. And, of course, at that point, the latter part of the 7th chapter where he said, hear the word and do the word, all you had to do is just look at the 5th, 6th, 7th chapters, see what he taught on, and go do those things. That section is called the Sermon on the Mount. Remember the Beatitudes? Beatitudes, the 5th chapter. 6th chapter, he talks about prayer, talks about giving alms, he talks about forgiveness, talks about a lot of things there. In the 7th chapter, he talks about prayer again and forgiveness. So if you do those things he said, it's like putting windshield wipers on your car. Are you with me? It's like caulking your windows before the winter hits. It's like the ant who's a wise people, the Bible says, and gathers his food in the summer because winter's coming. It's getting ready for things that not happening right now. It's like fixing the roof. Are you with me? Paul Kettle. When the sun is shining. Because you know the rain's going to come. And that does take a lot of faith in Texas right now. But the rain is coming. Amen? Well, it says the great storm came. He's asleep in the ship. And his disciples came to him and woke him up. I love what T.D. Jakes says about this. He says, I can't do it like T.D. does, but he says, storms don't wake Jesus up. You do. You think just because you're hurting, he's just going to wake up. Well, of course, he's awake all the time. I understand that. But you think he's just going to show up because you're hurting. He's just going to show up because you're going through this. Well, actually, if you want to know the truth, Jesus showed up 2,000 years ago. He already did what he needed to do 2,000 years ago for your sins and for your sicknesses and for your pain. He already did that. He did that 2,000 years ago. You say, well, doesn't he love me? Yes, he does. In fact, he proved it 2,000 years ago. That's all been taken care of. It's all been done. So what are we waiting on? Waiting on you. Waiting on you to cry, call, call out. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that seeketh, find. Everyone that knocketh, the door will be open unto him. Jesus said that in the 7th chapter of Matthew, before he said, hear these sayings and do them. One of the things you're supposed to hear and do is to ask God in the time of trouble and seek God in the time of trouble and knock on heaven's door and wake him up, as it were. Now, I'm not commending the disciples because Jesus actually got on to them. They were supposed to have taken care of the storm themselves. But there is something in this that they had to wake him up. Brother Osteen used to preach a sermon. Brother Osteen, our pastor, John Osteen, Joel Osteen's dad, was our pastor for years. He used to say, you have to wake the word up. Isn't that the case? Doesn't the word kind of go asleep sometimes? Don't we get a little complacent sometimes in life? We just go through life, we live our lives, and there's so much going on, there's so many distractions, and we're raising kids, family, whatever the case, working, whatever the case. And yet, the word sometimes goes dormant, goes asleep on us. Well, I'll tell you what you need to do, especially in the storm, not just storm ready, but in the storm, you need to wake the word up. What does the word of God say? Woo, it's better preaching, y'all are 8 minutes. Man, they were shouting in Hawaii when I preached this, I'm telling you. Honolulu, I want to go there. Anyway, wake the word up. That would be a third step, we could say. First, you want to hear the word. Second, you want to do the word. And then you want to wake the word up when it gets quiet, when it gets dormant, when it's not talking to you like it ought to because you hadn't been waking it up, you know. You haven't been bringing it up. When the crisis hits, by all means, get the word up. Amen? Wake it up. And he says, he awoke him saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? And he arose and rebuked the wind of the sea, and there was a great calm. He handled the storm. The word of God will always handle the storm. God's promises will handle the storm. God is bigger than the storm. We need to stop talking to God about how big the storm is. And start talking to the storm about how big our God is. Amen? Hallelujah. And the wind will cease. This pain will leave. This vacuum will disappear. This emptiness will go. These finances will change. This marriage will get better. Are you with me? This family will come together. It will. Because we're not going to quit standing on the Word. We're not going to quit doing the Word. We're not going to let the Word go to sleep on us. We're going to wake up the Word. Amen? Praise God. Turn to James, first chapter. I'm going to go to several verses here because we've got through three. Now, don't start timing this. Let's see, it's 15 minutes. That's 5 minutes per point. That means we've got four more points. That'd be 20 more minutes. It really doesn't work that way because sometimes we'll go over points quickly. I always do. You know, I don't know my mind works that way. When I hear these point sermons, I'm thinking, okay, that took 10 minutes. And he's got five more points? Goodness gracious, we're going to be here all day. You know, because I'm thinking each point's got to be the same. Everything's got to be symmetrical. I don't know whether it's, you know, what's wrong with me about that. But I think along those lines, and I always sweat these things out. Okay, I got that down. That took 5 minutes. That took 10. So, but it just doesn't work that way. We can go through points real quick, and you're thinking, we'll do it. James 1:5. Are you with me? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, gives to all men liberally. How many of you believe that? Amen. God gives it freely. If you'll ask him, come on, just ask God. He'll help you. He said he would. He doesn't hate you. He loves you. He's for you. He's crazy about you. It says, and he upbraideth not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith. Everybody say faith. Amen. All right, don't ask wavering. You know, hoping and a praying. Don't hope and pray. Pray and believe. Amen. God said it. You can trust God. If you can't trust God, who can you trust? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that waveth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. See, there's that storm again. There's the storm of confusion in your mind, the storm of doubt in your mind, the storm of not knowing what the future holds. Well, I don't know where everything's going to happen. I don't know the future either. But I do know God is bigger than whatever comes across my path. I know God can handle anything that I face. I know that if I trust God, that it will turn out all right. I may go through some pain. I may go through some trouble. I may go through some hurt. I'm human just like anybody. But I know when it's all over, I'll still be here and I'll still be standing because I'm not just anybody. I am a Christian. That means something. Come on. That means something. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I can trust him. I can believe him. I can know he's going to come through. And when I pray and when I seek him, I need to believe him. I need to stay in faith. Point number four. If you want to weather the storm, you've got to stay in faith. You got to first hear the word. You got to do the word. You got to wake up the word. And you got to stay in faith. And he says this, let him ask in faith nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now, God wants us single-minded, focused on him. He wants us just staying in faith, staying in faith, staying in faith. What should be our state of mind? should be a state of faith. Are you with me? We should be stable in that. We live in an unstable world. I understand that. We live in a storm-tossed world. I understand that. We live in a world with waves and wind and rain. I get it. I understand that. But inside, I can be calm. Inside, I can stay in faith. Amen? Inside, I can trust Him. And that's what He's getting us to do. To get inside the house and put the thermostat on 72. Let the sun shine. Are you with me? Let the snow come. It doesn't matter. We got our thermostat set. Inside, it's not all messed up in here. I've got it set on Isaiah 26:3. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." That's what it says. I'm going to trust him. That's going to get me through this storm. That's going to weather this storm. It's my faith in him. So stay in faith. If you don't stay in faith, you don't receive anything from the Lord. Which tells me, it tells me a lot. First of all, it tells me bad things don't come from God. Because, you know, you can receive bad things without trusting. In fact, I don't know if anybody believes for bad things. They just happen, don't they? Well, it says here, the unstable man, the double-minded man, shall not receive anything of the Lord. So if I don't believe, bad things can happen if I don't believe, right? I don't have to believe for a bad thing to happen. Y'all catching this? Are you tracking with me here? Okay. So he says, let not that man think he receive anything of the Lord. So you can, how many of you know you can get sick without believing? In fact, I don't know that I ever believed for sickness. Anybody ever got on your knees and said, pray God give, oh God, make me sick. Now, I'm not talking about an exam or, you know, something you're trying to miss, you know, that you're praying for something. But now I'm talking about a normal, you know, course of life. You don't pray for tragedy. You don't pray your house burns down. You don't pray anything like that. But those things happen. They don't come from the Lord, because the things that come from God, you have to pray for. You'll get it? So that's just another point that bad things couldn't be from God. You know, they happen. God doesn't like any more than you do. But one day it's all going to be changed. One day Jesus is going to come back. One day we're going to have a new heaven, a new earth. And you know what? The Bible says there's no more pain there, no more dying there, no more sickness there. No more chiggers, red bugs, fire ants, mosquitoes. Or if there are, they don't light and they don't even bite, as the commercial says. But why is it? What's wrong with the world? Well, us. Mankind, man sin, Adam sin, that's what happened. Doesn't mean every bad thing that happens to you is your fault, but every bad thing that happens to you is a result of sin. Maybe not your sin, but Adam's sin. Because Adam brought sin, and through sin came death, is what the Scripture says. There was no death before Adam. But when he sinned, death came into the world. Now, God fixed that with Jesus. In Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. Woo! Hallelujah. That's why you must be born again. The problem with you is you. And Jesus made a way where you didn't have to be you anymore. You're now a new you. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. Hallelujah. So stay in faith in the storm, the wind-tossed world that we live in, and the waves will cease and the storm will calm. Amen? And fifth part, turn to Matthew 14. This is helping anybody. Well, I'll preach myself happy anyway. Matthew 14. I just picked out verses that had something to do with storms or had something to do with waves or, you know, what the Bible says about that. Matthew 14, this is an awesome instance here of where Jesus walked on the water. 23rd verse says, "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain part to pray. When evening was come, he was there alone. And the ship was now in the midst of the sea," Matthew 14:24. "The ship was now in the midst of the sea and tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." A storm was going on. "In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out unto them walking on the sea." Oh, yeah. Just walking on the sea. I mean, this didn't bother him at all. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spoke to them and said, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered in him and said, 'Lord, if it be you, bid me come on unto you on the water.'" Man, that's pretty bold. I mean, that's pretty awesome. Most of us would be hiding, you know, see somebody walking on the sea. Are you kidding me? I mean, we're talking about something that would be on a reality show or something, Ghostbusters, or I don't know what they call it, Ghost Hunters or Ghost something, you know. But here's Jesus, and he said, no, it's not a ghost. It's me. Be not afraid. And Peter says, well, bid me come on the water. And Jesus says, come. One word, come. Okay? 29th verse. He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I love that. We talk about Peter sinking, but the Bible says he actually walked on the water to Jesus on his word. He said, you say the word, and I will walk to you. And he said, come. And on that one word, on the basis of God's word, he walked on the water. He walked through the storms of life right over the top of them. Hallelujah, somebody. And he walked to Jesus. But, 30th verse, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. He didn't have time to go in intercessory prayer. He didn't have time to do the Lord's Prayer and quote Psalms 23. I mean, after a couple words, it would have been blah, blah, blah. So he said, Lord, save me. Thank God he saves us that way. Sometimes you get in a tragedy, you just say Jesus, and he'll show up. Amen? I don't have time to go into prayer, but he said, Lord, save me. And it says, 31st verse, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now, let's think about this. It says he got his eyes off Jesus, and he got to looking at the wave and the wind. Just like we get our eyes off God, and we start looking at the problem, the storm that we're going through. If you're going to survive or weather the storm, if you're going to be storm ready and know what to do in the storm, you got to stay focused, which is point number 5. Everybody say, stay focused. Don't be distracted. Anybody ever see that movie, cartoon, Up? You know, I'm a grandparent. I've seen every kid movie there is. I used to never watch kid movies, but as a grandparent, that's what I do, watch kid movies with my kids over and over and over. If we have the DVD, you know. But Up, you know, there was some talking dogs on it. You remember the talking dog? And the dog would be talking to somebody, talking to the guy, and all of a sudden a squirrel would run by, and he'd go, squirrel. He'd lose his complete train of thought. He gets so distracted by anything, a squirrel going on. He's just talking normal sentence, you know, going along about the weather with squirrel. And that's kind of the way we are. You know, we're going through, like, we're trusting God. We stood on a promise. We prayed. But then this storm comes up, and the wind starts blowing, and we get our focus off of what it is that we're doing here. If you want to survive the storm, you got to stay focused. You got to have some bulldog tenacity. You got to have a face like a flint. You have to be like Jacob, who would not be denied. He held on to God, and he says, I will not let go till you bless me. You have to be like the woman that come up behind the press of people and grabbed that garment and got her healing, or the men who took the roof off to let the man down through the roof. You have to be like the men in the ditch that cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. When they said, be quiet, they cried out louder. You have to stay focused if you're going to weather the storm. And your focus has to be on Jesus. He is bigger than this. He is greater than this. I will come through this. He is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You have to be focused on this. It's passionate faith that gets answers. It's passionate faith that gets the victory. It's passionate faith that survives the storm. Amen? So you hear the word and you do the word. And then you wake up the word, as it were. And then you stay in faith and you stay focused. And really, when you think about it, what was the big trick walking on the water with the storm going on? You couldn't walk on water if there was no storm. Walking on water is a miracle. See, that was the catch, I think, is that Peter thought if the water was smooth, he could walk on it. You can't walk on smooth water without Jesus' help. Truth be known, when there was no storm and you were standing, you were still standing by the power of God. You weren't standing because there was no storm. You weren't standing because nothing bad going on. You were standing by the power of God. So when the storm come, that didn't change that. The storm didn't change anything. You're walking on the word. You're not walking on the water per se. Oh, smooth water, that makes it easier? No, it's the word that holds you up. It's the word that's always held you up. It's just when the storm comes, we find out whether you believe that or not. Okay, turn to 1 Timothy 1. Wrap this up. I got 5 minutes to go through 2 points. 1 Timothy 1. Well, this is a good one. I'd like to spend a long time on this, but I can't really. 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19. Paul talking to Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before you, that thou by them mightest war good warfare. In other words, stand by on the word you heard, on the prophecies that you got. Keep hold of them. Don't let go of them. Remember what God spoke to you. I remember God told me to come to Willis Point, Texas, over 32 years ago. And he hadn't told me to go anywhere else yet. Not no reference to Dr. Burr. I mean, they feel like God's led them. I didn't mean to sound like that at all. But God told me, well, the last thing God told me to do is the last thing I'm going to do. Are you with me? God tells me to do something else, I'll do something else. And God does. God speaks it on occasion, moves you, and so on and so forth. But I remember the word that God spoke to me. I remember when God called me to teach. He called me to teach his word back in, you know, in 1976. I've been saved 1 year. I remember God called. I remember him speaking to me and asking me to teach his word. Asking me, you know, ask if I'd do it. I said, yeah, I'd do it. I never will forget it. I never will ever forget that. I remember that word, and I have fought a good warfare on that word. I really have never doubted that call on my life, never, because I know God spoke to me. It doesn't matter what anybody says. I know what I heard. I know what I heard. And I remember God told me to come start this church. I know he told me. I know he did. And I remember times where you wanted to quit, but you couldn't. You just, things were bad, but you know what? You just couldn't because you heard what God said and the prophecies that had come and that had spoken to me. I had to stand on those. So Timothy did that. And notice this. It says, holding faith, 19th verse, and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. There's a storm. You don't want to wreck your ship? Not having a good conscience. It'll wreck your ship. Not doing what you know, not living holy, not living right, not doing the right thing. If you want to stay storm ready, then keep a good conscience. If you sin, repent. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you can't sin. But when you sin, you need to repent. You need to ask God to forgive you. And you need to keep a clear conscience. I remember I was down here one night praying, late one night, I was by myself. This was years ago. In fact, this is one of those tough times we're having in the church. I worked in Dallas for 3 years on a job and got off Wednesdays and Sundays, so I keep pastoring the church. And I was down here praying, and I was having little issues with somebody I was working with at the time, and you know, having some problems in a relationship there, the guy's working with. And I was praying about something else, and as I was praying about something else, God brought up that person. He says, you need to take care of that. And I just ignored it and kept praying about something else, and God kept bringing up the person that I need take care of this. And basically God said, I want to talk about this. And I said, God, well, I don't want to talk about that. I'd rather talk about this. And God says, well, I'm not ready to talk about anything else till you take care of that. And so I realized right then I was going to have to take care of that. And so I stopped praying. I went in the office and got on the phone and called a guy, asking to forgive me. I said, I think I've had a bad attitude toward you. You may not understand this. I'm just telling you what I was in here. I told him, I said, I was in here praying, and I knew I wasn't going to get anywhere until I took care of this. I got to get my conscience clear here. I've had a bad attitude toward you. I need you to forgive me. Well, he got a little nervous, and he says, well, I'd forgive you. I ain't had a good attitude toward you. Could you forgive me? What time's church start Sunday? This guy didn't even go to church. He was, you know, somebody I work with. And so I thought that was awesome the way God took care of that. But see, I wasn't going to go any further. I was going to wreck my ship if I didn't take care of that. My conscience. You can't live with a conscience and you know you're doing something wrong and you haven't taken care of it. If you don't want to go under in the storm, keep a clear conscience. Keep a good conscience. Live holy. I believe in living holy. Are you with me? I really do. I mean, I don't have to live holy to go to heaven. I understand that. Jesus paid the price for my sin. But I do want to be a witness. I do want my prayers to work. Are you with me? I do want to be a light and an example. And so I need to keep a clear conscience. So storms are going to come. I don't want that holding me back. No, sir, I want to take care of that. And when you're praying and God's bringing up something else, you need to take care of that. Amen. Are you with me? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Oh, come on. four of them, five of them. That's good. The rest of you, I'm praying for you. So don't, if you don't want a shipwreck in the storm, keep a good conscience. That's number six. Seventh point, last point, James 3. Is this helping anybody? Good. Okay, hear the word, do the word. Amen? Then wake up the word. Stay in faith, stay focused. Keep your conscience pure. It really does pay to serve God. Amen? It pays to live holy, to live right. And seventh one here in James 3rd chapter, 1st verse says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation or judgment. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. We then turn about their whole body. Behold, also ships, which though they be great, are driven with fierce winds, but they are turned about with a very small rudder, wherever the governor or the captain or the pilot of the ship listeth or decides. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. What he's saying here is that you need to keep a good confession. You need to keep your talking right. You don't need to get negative about this. If you're praying about something, believing God for something, stay positive in what you say. We're going to get through this. We're going to make it. God's word's going to come to pass. God said thus and so, and according to God's word, when this is all over, I'll still be standing. That's what God promised me. That's what I'm saying. I may feel different. It may look different. Oh, the wind may be blowing, but I'm not focused on that. The waves may be choppy. It doesn't matter. The waves don't determine where I go. The wind doesn't determine where I go. This rudder, what I'm saying, that's determining where I'm going. I'm setting my rudder on the Word of God. I'm going to say what God says, and it's not the wind that's going to blow me this way and that way. It is my confession that's going to take me to my destination. And my destination is what God promises. Amen. Amen? So if you want to weather the storm, then lastly, you want to keep your confession straight. Don't pray one way and talk another. You know, don't pray the word and then turn around and talk negative about the situation. Keep talking in faith. Keep saying what God said. How's it going? Well, we're blessed, can't be cursed. We've prayed about, well, don't you know this is going? Yeah, I know all that and I understand all that. Well, you don't look so good. Well, I may not look good, but you know what? We prayed about this and I'm trusting God. It's going to be like God said. Get a lot of reports, but I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. So, hear the word and do it. Hear the word, do it. Wake up the word. Stay in faith. Stay focused. Keep a good conscience. And keep a good confession.